Well, we agree with that prayer in Jesus' name. The devil's a liar. And because Caleb's grandmother, Sharon, is a strong Christian tither, she has rights in the kingdom of God. She is standing in faith, and the rest of the family that are saved are in agreement, and we are a family of God, joining that family in support to declare that Caleb has been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and nothing of the enemy shall by any means harm him. And we are not going to be afraid of the doctor's report. We are not going to be afraid of anything that happens in our lives. We are not going to be afraid of the spirit of fear. We are not going to be afraid of what is going on as we hear of wars and rumors of wars. We're not going to be afraid of the economy. We're not going to be afraid of the polarization and the division and anarchy in our nation politically. We're not going to be afraid of anything that the devil does in our personal lives. We're not going to be afraid of any doctor's diagnoses. We're not going to be afraid of any symptoms that might be presenting themselves. And we're not going to take the bait. We're not going to be afraid of what happens when we, some people look at their bank account and it seems like it's not enough. We're not going to be afraid when circumstances have not aligned yet in the natural, but we call those things that are not as though they were and see them as though they were already done and already exist. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus. And so we are overcoming fear every day because Jesus has overcome it. We have overcome all of it. Why did I say overcoming is a progressive term, English majors? Because every day fear tries to hit us. So if you have another challenge, you've got to battle that, the good fight of faith. Even though Jesus overcame at the cross, he took the keys back from death, hell, and the grave. He delegated that authority to us, but the attacks still come. And once you get rid of that attack, there's a bigger one. You know why? Because you already know how to do that level. So now God takes you to the next level. So we could put those demons in their place and then go to the next level. You think you're going to stay cushy and all, everything's hunky-dory? You know, we have to remind ourselves every day that we live in a battlefield called Earth. And the demons, devils, evil spirits like to attack our minds and our thoughts. And they're trying to tell us that we don't have to do anything, that God does it all. Baby seers that study and know their word, no, that's not true. If there's a covenant, which is a contract, that we are in partnership with God, he does his part, we do our part. And if we don't know what our part is and don't do it, then we're just hearers only, not doing it, then we are not going to be able to receive the benefits. There's a lot of promises with the word if in front, and people forget that part. And if means whether or not you do it. God's not going to make us do anything. He's going to tell us what to do through his word if we study it. Then you and I have to choose with our free will to do it. Now, learning those things and hearing, but not practicing, putting into practice, then means that we're not going to learn it right. And not teaching someone else means you're not learning it right. So those of you that have opportunities to teach others, help them, speak into their lives, that will help you get stronger as you're ministering it, because then you're really going to have to be that example to them as well. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So you can't overcome something sitting there in your chair and just hearing about it. You've got to go do it. You've got to not be afraid of those demons. How can you, overcome fear if you're afraid of the demons. Then you're afraid of fear. The demon just did its work. Right? Okay? But you don't have a spirit of fear. So what are you using fear for? Why are we taking the bait when God didn't give you that spirit? So where is it coming from? You know, Pastor Joshua has been given such revelation of teaching that has helped my husband, Pastor James, and I so much. I mean, it's hard to say which is your favorite, because you got a new favorite every time he ministers something fresh, right? Fresh revelation. Do not miss any service, but especially this month. Do not miss any service of ABC. If you can't make it because you're on vacation, please live stream. If you can't get live streaming, please go on demand to get the video and watch it, so that you will be up to date by time the next service comes around, so you won't be left out and won't miss out and not understand what God is doing and the Spirit of God is doing, because every service there's an opportunity for Jesus to show up, which he has many times. And I'm believing that, you know, as Pastor Josh was called to be a prophet and an apostle, that many times the Lord will use him that last Sunday before January to prophesy for the whole next year. Mm-hmm. You should be inviting a lot of people to that service and making sure you're here. Because a lot of people that didn't hear some of the prophecies made some decisions that didn't go well because they didn't know what God had said. Mm-hmm. Even though their realtors told them it was a good idea, even though their business advisors told him it was great, didn't work out that way because God knew the end from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so we got privy to that by listening to those prophecies and adhering to them. I had told one person what Pastor Joshua had prophesied and reminded her, because she had heard, but it didn't compute to parallel to every area of her life, you know? And she was going to remodel her house, and she got a large sum of money, and she said, I've been wanting to do this for years. And I said, well, why are you doing that? And she said, because I'm fulfilling my desire. And God provided me this money. Do you see how the devil can trick people? I said, did God tell you to remodel your house? Well, I didn't ask. I just assumed because it's my desire, and God blessed me with this money, I could do with it what I want. I said, well, you have a free will, but me, I would consult with the Holy Spirit first, because he knows exactly what's going to be happening. Don't you remember what Pastor Joshua said? And I repeated the prophecy of in that time. He was talking about the era of fear. Mm-hmm. He was talking that so many things will be happening, and people would be getting so scared because of everything that's happening. And then he prophesied all the disasters that are going to be happening and what we have to do to get ready. And I said, do you want that money to go in the kingdom or into a house that's going to sit here? And so she prayed, and she said the Lord told her not to remodel. And then when she went through the Revelation series, had got a confirmation, she was glad that she knows now that Jesus is coming soon, and she would rather utilize her money for the gospel than for something that is not, you know, this whole earth is going to have challenges. Do you see what I'm saying? So now she's kingdom minded. So when Pastor Joshua was prophesying about that era of fear coming and all the disasters coming to our earth and our country, some people got scared. But that wasn't the reason of the prophecy. The reason of the prophecy was to warn us so that we could stand in victory, that we would not give in to that spirit of fear that was attacking every person. And the Lord said to me, this is not even on my notes, I don't know why I'm saying this. The Lord said to me that the spirit of fear is attacking people's sleep. And the one thing that he can do is get you to be sleep deprived, then fear can grow stronger, because you aren't going to be walking in the fullness of the mind of Christ like you should.
Amen.
And worry and anxiety and fret are synonyms of fear. Concern. And if someone is just having their mind and thoughts on the same problem over and over and over, and then they can't go to sleep because of that problem that it's presenting, that's a spirit of fear that you don't think that you can have victory over that problem. Or you're trying to resolve it yourself instead of casting your care on the Lord and letting the Lord give you the solution and trusting in the Word of God, that God's Word can change all things in your life. And so Pastor James and I really felt led that in this month before 2019 starts, to remind us all how to overcome every fear in our lives and analyze each thing in our lives, because fear is one of the big demons that allow other demons to come into our life and other sins. And if we don't recognize it and analyze it every time it tries to come and attack us, then it's hard to submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he flees from you. If you don't realize that you're giving into a temptation, you can't repent of it, confess your sin, repent of it, and turn your back on it if it's gripping you. Some people are so used to that worry, they think it's normal. Remember I told you one time I ministered to a lady and she could not get any sleep, and she asked for prayer, and the Lord said to me, worry. So I said to her, do you worry? She says, I never worry. I said, okay. So I thought I was wrong, you know, because you have to test to see if you're hearing from God, right? And then how many times are you right versus how many times are you wrong? Then we're improving, right? And so then I said, so what happens when you are in bed and can't sleep? She says, well, I fret about all the bills I have to pay. She's from a different country, Jamaica. And we use that word a lot in Jamaica. So let's see what her definition of fret was. I said, so what does it mean to you, fret? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm just concerned about it, and I'm trying to figure out how to resolve it. I said, do you know that's a synonym of worry? It is? I said, that's what we say in America. Same thing. Worry, fret, same thing. She goes, I didn't know that. I guess then it is worry. So I led her in a prayer to repent of worry and fret, because I wanted to use her word, because that was her definition as well. And I said, now you have to learn to cast your care on the Lord. It doesn't mean that don't ask God what to do, but it does mean don't try to figure it out yourself, but go to the Holy Spirit for consultation and then do what he says. So as she could do that, and she could, I said, now you have to realize that say there's a basket God's giving you, and you're going to write it down on a piece of paper. Lord, here's my fret and worry, and you put it in the basket, and he takes it from you, from your hands. It's out of your hands. You're asking him for guidance and direction, so you have to do something. But now you're just going to give it to him, and you're going to wait in here for the Holy Spirit to give you an answer. Let's pray together. And we did, and I said, let's now just worship God. After she repented of her sin, let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And whatever he tells you, I'll ask him to tell me too, and let's compare notes and let's see if we get the same answer. And she got a solution that she never thought about. And we prayed it forth. We commanded that to happen and the angels of God to go forth to get that done for her. And she's not carrying that fear. And after the fear got out of the way, she had an instant solution for a multi-million-dollar challenge. Multi-million-dollar challenge. Get rid of the fear, people. It blocks us when we don't even realize. So what we're learning at ABC really works. And we implement that. And so we're going to do this series that Pastor Joshua did and reteach this to really get into our spirits, because 2019, the demons are going to be bigger. The challenges are going to be bigger. The problems in the world are going to get greater. But we cannot fear because we will overcome all of them if we don't have those roadblocks and do what the Lord says through His Word. Amen. So this is part one. So Pastor James and I are going to be doing the four-part series. And he will continue part two on the 16th, and we'll do part three and four the last two Fridays of December. So do everything you can to really get the series under your belt. Don't miss next Sunday, because that's going to be a powerful Sunday as well. Next Sunday, God has something big for you. I'm not sure what that is. Every service I just see in December, a building of the anointing and the greater revelation for God. It's getting us ready for January, because we're going to have a power-packed year. I don't care what happened last year, this year. I don't care what you think that the analysts are speculating are going to happen in the stock market next year. My God says that He has provided for all of our needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. My God says that we are conquerors, more than conquerors, super conquerors. My God says that you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My God says that you don't have a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. A sound mind doesn't worry or fret. A sound mind doesn't have concern. A sound mind doesn't have anxiety. A sound mind doesn't focus on what the devil's doing, but focuses on what God is doing for you, through you, and to you. Amen?
Amen.
This is a year for you to help others not fear. This is a year for you that's coming up, that you will be so filled with the power of God that people, when you walk in a room, will notice the presence of God and ask of you why you are so confident in Christ, and you'll be able to minister the gospel in an incredible way, because this is what God is doing through you who have studied to show yourself approved, a workman not be ashamed. You have studied, you have learned, you are growing in Christ, and now you're going to be able to evangelize and minister like never before, doing signs and wonders. No fear. No fear can hold you back when you are in the Word of God, in His perfect love, being led by the Spirit of God to love these people and show them Christ through you. Now, let's see how far I get through this. And what I don't will happen next time. We'll continue, okay? But God wanted you to know what to get ready for, so that anybody have animals or have had animals? Okay, you know when you're training them as a puppy and they do their stuff and then they're not exactly trained and you leave the house and you come back and you forgot to put them in an area with a doggy door, and now your couch has holes in it with bite marks, and the shoes, they also are now more air conditioned because of bite marks, and there's stuff, there's havoc everywhere, right? And then you go, I've got to train this dog. I have to take authority over this dog. I have to take authority over this animal. If this animal is telling me what to do, that's a spirit of control that I don't want in my house. I'm going to take control of that dog or that pet. I'm going to tell that pet what it needs to do, and it's going to be on God's schedule, not on the pet's schedule. And so I'm not going to be afraid when I leave my house that it won't look like the way I want it to look when I get back if I do something about it. But if I neglect it, then that's going to be out of order. Same thing with the demon of fear. You've got to take control over it. You've got to cast it out. You've got to let it stay out. You got to bind it up so it doesn't operate in a regular basis. You've got to recognize it. But if you don't recognize it and you don't know how to deal with it, then it's going to continue to wreak havoc. Okay? God is going to reveal to each one of us in this series areas of fear in our lives we didn't know were affecting us, because a lot of us that have been cleansed, we've gotten so much out, but there may be more left that has just been very comfortable in our lives like normal, not recognizing and identifying other synonyms of how it's operating. Okay, so ask the Lord, if there is any more fear in my life, will you reveal it to me so I can also get those out and overcome it and keep binding it up and not allowing it to come into my life and thoughts anymore? Okay, so that's easy enough, right? Let's ask the Lord. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, would you reveal to me and each person hearing this series and teaching what areas in our lives that we may still have fear attacking us, or that we hadn't recognized, and that we ask you, Holy Spirit, to reveal to us, to open the eyes of our understanding and flood it with light and revelation, where we can pinpoint those fears and whatever synonyms they have taken, so that we could bind them up, cast them out, and overcome them, and that you help us to have a new lifestyle, to change and be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, concerning that, so it won't roadblock us and won't allow other sins and demons into our lives because of implementing who we are in Christ Jesus, because you have not given us the spirit of fear, but you want us to overcome in every area of our lives, including fear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So faith is believing that God will do what he promised. Fear is believing that the devil will do what he promised. I never thought about that. Isn't that true? Oh my goodness. Let's think about it. If you hear a thought in your mind, like, you might get in a car accident today, and that person just lets it ride, and now it gets bigger, that thought gets louder and louder and louder, and as they're driving, they're getting more nervous and more nervous and more nervous, and then that person gets in a car accident and gets home and says, you know what? The devil told me that so-and-so said that he or she was going to get in a car accident, and he said, and it happened. So he believed in that word. And he allowed that to happen to him because of believing it instead of rejecting that thought, saying, you're a devil, you're a liar, in the name of Jesus, angels of God, protect me, and no, I'm not getting an accident in Jesus' name, and kicking the thought out. It started to grow and grow and grow, and what you fear, what? Comes upon you or happens to you. So we have to recognize, but see, that person believed that what the devil promised would happen, and then it did. That person did not rely on the word of God to say that, you know, God is our protector and that we have authority to protect ourselves and that nothing of the enemy shall by any means harm us. Did not rely on that word. It got overridden by the fear. And that's how fear functions. It overrides the word. And that may not happen to you in an instant there, but if there's a crisis, a 7.0 earthquake in Alaska, I saw the video on the TV, and all the people were screaming and afraid and trying to run for cover. Fear can hit someone in an instant. You don't even have time to pray. It has to be an internal mechanism that we get so automatic. This is what I want to help you with. I want to get to an automatic where I do not have fear. I felt a big shaking here once, and we were, I think it was during a staff meeting, and all I heard was, earthquake, stop in the name of Jesus. No, in the name of Jesus. You will not have an earthquake. No, nothing in this place will happen. Anything bad will happen. I just start hearing people speaking things out, taking authority, and it stopped. I heard someone say, stop in the name of Jesus, and it went, boom. No more earthquake. I said, yeah, that's the way we need to be against the devil. What came out of us was an automatic. We've been trained well by ABC because When you stub your toe and a cuss word still comes out, there's some cleaning out you still got to do. Right?
Yes.
When there's an earthquake and you get scared, you recognize there's still fear. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So people say, I'm not scared. Okay. And then you're saying, well, then they say, I'm going to get a flu shot today. And I go, are you scared of the flu? No, but I want to prevent it. Well, how are you preventing something you're not scared of if you don't think you're going to get it? But if you're afraid of getting the flu, by all means, get the flu shot. Because that person's not standing in faith, and their faith won't be able to resist the flu. Do you see how this works? Do you see how the devil works? Very sneaky, right? Okay, so A, what fear is? Fear is trust in the devil's word. Okay, and Hebrews 11:1 states that faith is the title deed to God's promise. So number two is it is God's title deed. And in the Amplified, faith is the assurance or the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. You got to know that in the spirit realm it exists. That's faith. You don't see it with these eyes. You see it with the eyes of the heart. You see it with the eyes of your faith. That in the spirit realm, there's protectors. If you could see your angels, some people might get scared of them and allow the spirit of fear to come in by seeing their own angels. How many times in the Old Testament an angel appeared to somebody and the first thing the angel says is, fear not. He won't have to say fear not if there wasn't fear. So he wants to knock that fear out. Because they're big and giant and, yeah, bigger than the demons. So if you could see them, it would bring assurance to you if you knew they were good angels. And your personal bodyguard. Right. You have a personal bodyguard. So what are you scared of? Hello? Just because we can't see them? The title deed means you own it. Faith is the assurance. It's owning the things you hope for. Knowing your name is on it. You are a co-heir of Christ Jesus. You have entitlement to protection of God. If you're a tither, Jehovah Shabbaoth, the captain of the Lord of hosts, or in American terms, the commander-in-chief of all the military of heaven. And if your one bodyguard is so big, can you imagine the other hosts of heaven? Let's think bigger, people. Who are we in Christ? You're that important in the kingdom that you have a bodyguard. Only VIPs in America have bodyguards. I don't know about many other countries. Some of the cartels have their own bad bodyguards. You are that important to Jesus that he gives a specific person to make sure you're taken care of. Let's walk in that now. Of whom shall you be afraid if you're bigger than they are? Christ in you is bigger than they. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Let's expand our mind to see ourselves the way that God sees each of us. Fearless. Not fearing. You are fearless in Christ Jesus. And you will now operate in who you have been made to be and imitate in Jesus' name.
Amen.
B, do you think fear is the title deed to the devil's promise of what he can do? That's where we need to analyze every area, okay? When people see an area in their lives, they think they're defeated. For example, those people in the earthquake in Alaska 7.0 that got scared that are Christians, they might think, oh, I still am afraid and I have a lot of work to do. And that person might think that he or she is still weak. Not necessarily. If that fear appears and it's something that you're still working through, it's not a weakness to have it exposed. It means that God is showing you what to get rid of. So it was dumb on the demon's part to expose itself because now you want to get rid of it. Would you rather be in a house that's filled with roaches that are hiding and only come out at night, and you buy the house without knowing the roaches are there? Or would you rather see the roaches exterminate and then move in? If you raise your hand on A, let me pray for you after the service. So when you see a demon operating in your life, God is showing you to exterminate it.
Amen.
Get rid of it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I'm not embarrassed when I see weaknesses in my life. I thank God that I can now see it so I could do something about it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Because if that person doesn't, then you know, it would be very sad if they don't do something about the roaches, because, you know, they could turn on the light and they see the whole countertop move because they've multiplied so much. That sounds gross, does it not? But how many people don't do anything about the demons in their life? How many people let fear propagate? And then if they cast it out and then aren't vigilant, seven worse than what was casted out came back. So now eight of them come back. And so now there turns into terror, turns into night terrors, turns into paralyzing fear, which they cannot progress now because they feel like they can't move forward. And then that couples with embarrassment and shame because they were afraid to tell somebody and get some help. And so now what's going on? There's What's worse than the worst one coming back? I always tell you, the worsers. Now you got the worsers happening, and now that person can't sleep. Now that person is just so tired and not operating and cannot hear the voice of God well because they're not operating in the mind of Christ because of this stupor of fear that comes in and does all this stuff and grows and grows and grows. Let's get them all out. The same exterminator gets one roach out as a million. Mm-hmm. Same thing, same treatment. The Word of God can get out one demon or all the demons. The Word of God can help us not sin anymore. The Holy Spirit, ask Him to help you to recognize and not sin anymore. Okay? This is how you get rid of it. Fear is believing evil reports. We're on number two. Numbers 13:32, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report. Bad report. Really bad report. Of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. They were taller, bigger. Maybe their cows had better milk. I don't know. But anyway, they were afraid of those guys because they thought they were like grasshoppers in their sight. They thought they were tiny, puny, and didn't have the ability to overcome. They listened to the bad report. Only two listened to God's report. Why did God give them a report before they went in? So they would stand in faith, not in sight. Before they went in, God said, go take the land. Is He going to let them fail? Whatever God does, He never fails. No, they listened to the demons speaking into their ears as their eyes saw the great army that they were coming up against, forgetting how great their God is. All you need is one man and God. All you need. Someone who is just going to do what God says and carry out what God tells them to do. Numbers 14:3. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword? That our wives and children should become victims. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt in the sin and slavery? For years they cried out, free us of this bondage, Lord. And my husband and I yesterday were singing this song. It just came to us. You know, you see these musicals about the biblical stories of Moses going into Pharaoh. Let my people go. I said, yeah. Fear, you got to let us go.
Amen.
Demons, you got to let us go. Because if we're loving, forgiving people, you have no right to stay in us. And so I was wondering why that song came to us. We're singing this song, you know. And no, we're not going to have pharaohs of fear to enslave us anymore. We're no longer slaves to fear. No. We're not doing it. Because they didn't heed the voice of God. Numbers 14:22. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times have not heeded my voice. They did not obey God's voice. They did not believe God's voice. They believed what they saw, and what you're seeing in your own life, don't believe it if it does not line up with the word of God. The truth is that you have victory. The truth is that you have more than enough. The truth is God is the God of the I Am, the El Shaddai, the provider, the Jehovah Jireh. The truth is that there is no fear on earth that could hold you back when you believe in your God. Amen?
Amen.
Joshua 2:9-11, and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know. He didn't say, I hope so. Mm-hmm. Hope is in faith. When you hear the word, I hope so, it's not real hope. It's a doubt. I know that the Lord has given you the land. Given you his title deed. They owned it by faith. And because God decreed it, it was so. They didn't believe in the word. So fear can bring doubt and unbelief. That the terror of you has fallen on us. I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us. And that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard. See, they heard. What God did. How the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan. Sihon and Og. Whom you utterly, not just little destroyed. Utterly destroyed. See, God doesn't do anything halfway. He annihilated the enemy. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. As soon as we heard of how big your God is, can you remember how many times God rescued you? Can you right now remember all the praise reports when it didn't look like it was going to make it, you made it because of God? That's what you should focus on. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. What left them was courage, and fear came in. When fear comes in, courage goes out. When fear comes in, faith goes out. When fear comes in, perfect love goes out. Do you see how it attacks us and why it brings in all the other stuff? For the Lord your God, he's my God, the same God, your God, this is the same God. He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. So if he did this stuff to those guys, why can't he do it in your life, whatever you're facing? He can, and you know it. But now you're reminding yourself and praising God that he'll do it again. He'll do it again. Ha ha. Come on. Let's get into the do it again mode, okay? Number three. I learned this years ago. F-E-A-R can be an acronym for false evidence appearing real. It can even feel real of pain in your body. Don't believe it. Believe in the word of the Lord. Number four, fear is the voice of a demon. Fear is a demon. That's why it's the voice of a demon. It's also temptation to get you to not believe in the word. Let's look at James 1:13-15. Let no one say that he is tempted when he says, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. God doesn't entice anyone or manipulate. He allows free will. This is what it's saying, okay? But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by what? By your own desires and enticed, drawn away from what? God's word. From who God is. drawn away from the kingdom, drawn away to not act like who God made you to be, then when desire has conceived, when a seed is conceived, it grows. So when it's conceived, it gives birth to sin if it is a bad seed. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So why is there medical insurance and vaccines? Fear of death. I never realized that till Pastor Joshua pointed it out to us. And I saw he was absolutely right. If I have no fear of the enemy and God is my everything, I'm already vaccinated through the Word of God because Jesus did it for me on the cross. I'm immune to whatever the devil wants to throw at my way. It should not be able to come near me. When it does, it's because there's a breach in my armor, a breach in my faith. If I've sinned, the demons are like vultures. They could fly in. And then I just realize, what was I doing? What happened? Did I have fear, offense, or unforgiveness? Or unforgiveness against myself? And then I repent. I confess those sins. Receive forgiveness for those sins. Now I can cast them out again. Big deal. Shoo, fly, shoo. Get out, roaches, go. Get out, fear, whatever's attacking me. But if I don't do my part, the Word of God can't do its part. Okay? How fear works. B, fear attacks your faith. Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Be strong and of good courage. So I want you to look at all the things in your life right now. Close your eyes. Anything that's a challenge. Anything that's a challenge. Anything that there's not full 100% manifestation of what you desire in your life. Be of good courage. Be strong. Okay? And I'm going to speak this out and prophesy it to you. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand nor to the left, that you may prosper. I prophesy that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. You will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. For have I, God, not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of any of those circumstances, any challenges, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Whew! I just saw your faith level increase. I just saw your faith level go up. I just saw fear running from you, in terror of you, God in you. I saw it. Don't let it back. A, fear and faith are like two sides of the same coin. You can't be in faith if there's fear. Make sure you're on guard to not let fear come in and get rid of it as soon as you identify it, okay? Just because you're attacked doesn't make you weak. The devil attacks everybody. We just have to be stronger and vigilant and more persistent. And then the demons get tired and go bug somebody else. B, fear not, only believe. Mark 5:36, Luke 8:50. I'm going to read from verses 35 to 42 if you're reading with me in your Bible. Mark 5:35 to 42. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Meaning, this guy wanted help for his daughter who he knew was dying, but now she's dead, so it's like, forget about it. Why bother the teacher? Too late. You ever seen a situation you felt it's too late? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "What? Why would he say this? Do not be afraid. Only believe." Because he knew if he was in fear, his faith couldn't take over. And if he didn't have faith, he couldn't receive the miracle for his daughter. Fear robs you of your promise. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James, the strongest that were in the faith, in Pastor Karen's opinion. And then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. They had a custom that they didn't want to be showing their grief in public, but they wanted to show that there was grief, so they paid people to come and grieve for them. They didn't have mascara back then, but I figured that, you know, if the ladies that did, they didn't want to show tearing mascara, so they hired somebody else. And they wept and wailed loudly. I mean, it was like a demonstration to show, like, oh, no, no, no. That's what they were doing. So what did Jesus do about those people? Well, when he came in, Jesus, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? Because they're already, you know, they were weeping before the child died. Hello, it's like negative self-fulfilling prophecy. And this child is not dead, but sleeping. They're like, what? No pulse. She's cold. Blue lips. I'm just imagining, you know, because I've ministered a lot of people. And when they look dead, they really look dead. But he wouldn't claim that. He wouldn't claim it. He didn't confess it. Because if he confessed it and he spoke it, it would have happened. So he claimed sleeping. And they ridiculed him. That's fear. And doubt and unbelief. Ridicule. But when he had put them all outside, he got rid of the fear. Got rid of the doubt and unbelief. So it wasn't in the house, so faith could fill the house. And he took the father and mother of the child and those that were with him and entered where the child was laying. And he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Whoo! Whatever the devil has tried to kill in your life, your dreams, your goals, anything that you thought God needed you to do and wanted you to do and not complete your destiny, and the devil try to kill that dream, fear not. Only believe. And arise in who you are in Christ Jesus. Fearless. Full of faith. Believing God, taking courage and being strong. That God has called you for such a time as this to fulfill your destiny, and the demons flee from you in Jesus' name. People will be greatly amazed because of God in your life. Luke 8:50, I'm going to read from 49 to 56. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house. It's just another version from Luke instead of Mark's account. Saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. Do you know the ruler? He didn't care. He troubled the teacher. Jesus, come anyway. It doesn't matter what you look like. Don't give up. Go to the word. Go to Jesus. Go to him anyway. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. Everything will be made well when you don't fear. Just believe. And when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. People he knew that could stand in faith with him. If you were telling every person your problem, if you are going to prayer groups here and there, and you don't know what the heck they're praying for you, they may be canceling your prayers. You may be doing it in fear instead of faith because you think that more people are going to help you instead of going to the qualified ones that will stand in faith and not allow the devil to come in through fear, doubt, and unbelief and steal your faith and steal your miracle and victory. Be very careful. A lot of Christians don't know how to pray. They pray through fear. Yeah. I've heard people pray like this. Oh, God, please help that dying woman. What'd they just do? Heal her! That's the Wailers. Get rid of that. So, now all who wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. I guess so. They must have really ridiculed him, because two accounts, it's still there, knowing that she was dead. How did they know that? They assumed. A lot of times the devil wants you to assume and speak out of your mouth that you know something that bad that happened, so it's not going to change. Don't speak it out. Don't take the bait. Then her spirit returned, and she rose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. When people get their healing, sometimes they just don't do what they need to do to stay healed. If she hadn't eaten for a week, so now that she rises up and they say, okay, don't give her anything to eat. We're scared she's going to get sick again. Hello? And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what happened. It wasn't time for the people to understand the miracles that he could do. And he didn't want them thronging him until he completed what he needed, because then a lot of people would be following him to get their miracles also, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not wise to tell people that God has done something in your life until there is a completion of those things, and then he tells you when to say it. Yeah. Right? Okay. So we're going to take this up next time. Fear tries to introduce doubt and unbelief. See why you don't want to miss the next time? Because how do we get rid of those? And so I want you to really get a hold of this message so you are implementing it starting today and getting rid of the fear by analyzing what areas of our life that we still need to work in being strong and courageous, because in the name of Jesus, you have overcome fear. In the name of Jesus, you are not going to let that rule your life anymore. In the name of Jesus, perfect love in your life is growing so much, casting out all fear. In the name of Jesus, doubt and unbelief is going to be bound up in your life. In the name of Jesus, you see yourself as an overcomer, submitted to God in every area of your life, and he flees from you, because God has called you to be an overcomer of fear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.